So the big story yesterday, we're back with it today. Valerie Watts, one of the most senior figures in our health service, is with me here in the studio. Valerie is the Chief Executive of the Health and Social Care Board. Good morning to you, Valerie.
Good morning, Stephen.
Right. Maybe thank you, first of all, for coming in.
My pleasure.
And we need to walk through the situation in Northern Ireland. It's dire for people who can't afford to go private, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Really? Have you heard people calling this programme yesterday, waiting 4 and 5 years?
Yes, Stephen. Unfortunately, and my apologies for not being able to be here yesterday morning to take maybe some questions from some of your listeners and to try and give some answers to those listeners. But can I just begin by saying that I would like to offer my very sincere and genuine apologies to John O'Hagan, to Tony, Jennifer, John, who spoke about his wife, also Sam from Ballymena and Joe from Enniskillen, whose stories I listened to when I was able to hear a repeat of your programme yesterday afternoon. Offer them a very sincere and genuine apology from the board and from myself in relation to the times that they've had to wait for treatment. No one in Northern Ireland should have to wait longer than absolutely necessary to receive either appointments to see consultants for diagnostics, nor indeed for treatment plans and indeed surgery.
Well, there's actually quite a lot even in that opening gambit from you. First of all, I'm really impressed that you know people's names, that you've taken time to listen to them. But the bottom line is, what you then said afterwards, no one should have to wait longer than is absolutely necessary. That means nothing. Because what's absolutely necessary at the moment, because the state of the health service and delivering for people who can't pay is so dire, that you know you've had a heads up that this is the situation that now faces us in Northern Ireland. It's not just an apology to those people as if this is not going to happen in the future. Look at the figures that you have in front of you. Patients waiting longer than 26 weeks for inpatient admission has trebled in the last year. It was 4,312 patients waiting longer than half a year. And what is it by March 2015? 13,622. It's trebled.
I don't deny that the figures have increased. I don't deny that the waiting times for elective care are stretching out and stretching out. But we must understand that we have a finite budget within which we're working with this year. Can I say that whilst I fully accept that the current waiting times are unacceptable in many cases, what I also wish to stress this morning on your programme to the people of Northern Ireland and to your listeners is that around half of patients will have their surgery in less than 3 months, and three quarters of all patients will have that surgery in less than 6 months. Now, I know that that is cold comfort for those waiting the longest times, particularly some of your listeners who phoned in yesterday morning. And I would like to give a guarantee this morning that we will do everything we can within the available resources to ensure that people can be seen as quickly as possible.
This wasn't just about a handful of people that called this programme yesterday. Look at your own figures for outpatients. There were 39,768 people waiting more than 9 weeks for a first outpatient appointment last year. By March 2015, 107,000. From 39,000 to 107,000. And you sit here today and you say it's not dire.
Again, we've got to put that into context, place in context within the system within which we're working, I think, Stephen, and look at what has happened over the last couple of years. In terms of some of the statistics, I would just like to share with you this morning. In 2013-14 through to 14-15, that financial year, we had an extra £80 to £90 million of additional funding, that's non-recurrent funding, that we had to try and address these waiting lists. In 14-15, that reduced to £57 million. And in the current financial year, that has now reduced to £27 million. And that money this year is mainly being used to close out all of those patients that were paused last year in terms of having been referred to the independent sector for both procedures, for both diagnostics and procedures. So the funding is simply not available to do that this year. And having said that, through the £89 million of extra additional funding that the minister, the health minister, has bid for in the June monitoring round, we're all well aware that out of that total, £45 million has been identified.
But this is nearly August. Have you got the money?
To address elective care.
This is nearly August. Have you got the money?
No, we have not got the money.
So you're using money that you haven't got?
No, we're
not. You're relying on money, or you're quoting money that you haven't got.
We are not using money that we haven't got. And I have been listening to various people over the last couple of days through the various media outlets asking about who is in charge, who is accountable. And there is one thing I am absolutely crystal clear about, and that is my accountable officer status as chief executive of the board in terms of the £4.5 billion and a responsibility on me to ensure that I am the guardian of that particular public purse and that we do not overspend on that budget in any given year.
Have you got enough money to deliver a safe, effective and fair health service to people in Northern Ireland?
Do we have enough money? I will always be grateful for any extra money that comes the way of health and social care.
That's a politician's answer, and you're not a politician.
I am clearly not a politician, nor would I wish to be a politician. But for any extra funding that we can get for health and social care, I will be always eternally grateful.
Have you got enough money?
But the money is what the money is. And we know that this year, in order to deliver against what is in the draft commissioning plan, that there is already a £31 million shortfall. And we are working tirelessly with trusts at the minute to identify ways in which we can close that gap. And this is despite the fact that the Department of Health and other arm's length bodies have already identified savings opportunities to release £157 million of efficiencies and savings in 15-16.
You say the buck stops with you, that you're accountable. Have you got enough money to deliver a safe, fair health service in Northern Ireland to the type of people who we heard yesterday crying on the radio because if the buck stops with you, Valerie, you ain't delivering for them? So, have you got enough money to deliver a fair, safe health service in Northern Ireland?
When you say, first of all, Stephen, when you say that we're not delivering for them, I know that there have been a number of callers over the last while who are complaining about excessive waiting times. Again, I've apologised for that. It's unacceptable. However, we received 21,000 letters last year of people complimenting us for the services that, that we provide.
And I get that.
That we provide.
And I do get that. But I'm not going to move beyond the question until you answer it. Do you think that you've got enough money currently to deliver a fair and safe health service in Northern Ireland? Or actually do the politicians need to give you more? Now, which is it?
We do need more money. Yes, we do need more money.
Have you enough
money
to deliver a fair and safe health service currently?
Well, I have to say I was very reassured by the recent Sir Liam Donaldson report when he said that we are certainly no less safe in terms of health and social care than any other jurisdiction that he was familiar with.
I'm not asking about Liam Donaldson, I'm asking about you. As the head of the Health and Social Care Board, do you think we currently have enough money, Valerie?
I would like more money.
To deliver
money.
Safe.
We can always do with more money.
Such a political
money.
Answer.
But
the questions I'm currently
Stephen,
asking...
Let me shorten the question. We've got to be realistic about the money is, and we've got to use it in the best possible way.
That's a given. But I guess what I'm asking you, and let me actually truncate the question even further. Do you think we have enough money to deliver a safe health service in Northern Ireland?
I believe that the services we are delivering are safe. In the main, they are safe and they are of high quality. Now, there will always be a number of incidents that will happen in health and social care over the course of any given year. Yeah. And we need to learn from those incidents. Do we need more money? Yes, we do need more money. Health is the budget for health really should be growing at a rate of about 6% year on year on year to deal with demography changes, to deal with the introduction of new drugs, new treatments, yeah, new technologies, and to do with rising inflation.
Some people might be wanting you this morning. It's not for me to decide, but some people might be wanting you this morning to come in here, as other people have done in positions of power in Northern Ireland. And so, in fact, some people in the past have put themselves at risk by coming into this studio and saying we are in a dire situation. And the consequence of that is that the politicians then feel more pressure to deliver for people, like you heard yesterday. And when you paint a picture this morning that, look, we can all deal with more money, but actually we've got tens of thousands of letters from people saying we've done a good job. Let's just put this in some type of context. Health and Social Care Trust performance against a waiting time target for a consultant-led first appointment, Valerie. Did you meet your target for Belfast of at least 80% of patients waiting no longer than 9 weeks? No, you didn't. Did you make your target for Belfast in terms of patients waiting longer than 15 weeks? No, you didn't. Let's move to the Northern Trust. Did you meet your target there for 9 weeks? No, you didn't. Did you meet your target for 15 weeks? No, you didn't. Shall we move to the South Eastern Trust where you failed both targets? Shall we move to the Southern Trust where you failed both targets? And shall we move to the Western Trust where you failed both targets? All human beings in there desperately wanting to get medical care that they've paid for through their taxes. And you're sitting there today, you're not even saying that this situation is dire. It's dire for every one of them.
What I wouldn't want to be doing this morning, Stephen, is giving any citizen in Northern Ireland the impression that the health service, health and social care service, is in a state of crisis. It is not in crisis.
Are you serious?
We are managed. I am very serious. And I would like listeners to take me seriously.
People waiting 4 years for an operation, and that's not a crisis?
I'm not saying that there are not individual cases that are unacceptable, right? But what I am saying is that in the main, all day, every day, we are providing safe, high-quality services to the people of Northern Ireland, okay, in relation to the health and social care services that we provide.
Your own colleague, Mr. Dean Sullivan from the Health and Social Care Board, told the Health Committee on the 15th of April of this year that waiting lists were ridiculously long.
They are long.
Are they ridiculously long?
I can't. The individual callers that called in yesterday.
No.
Those are the cases I would say are unacceptable.
Your colleague, ridiculously long.
For some services, they are very long.
Are they ridiculously long?
For some services, they are very long.
Why are you sugarcoating this?
I'm not sugarcoating anything here this morning. But I, in the main, firmly believe that we are providing safe, high-quality services to the people of Northern Ireland. It does not... I'm not proud to be presiding as chief executive over some of those waiting times.
Are you ashamed?
But the thing, what I'm trying to do is work collaboratively with all partners across health and social care to try to find the solutions and the answers to totally eradicating these waiting lists.
You see, are the waiting lists likely to get even worse next year or better?
Again, I've got to be very direct and say they're likely to get worse because of the budget.
How much worse do you project they will get?
Well, for certain, I can't give you the individual detail for individual specialities here this morning, but we are predicting that those waiting times will stretch out.
By how much? Significantly?
Some of them will be significantly, yes.
Well, which ones?
Well, I don't have the detail of that with me here this morning, Stephen.
You know which specialities are more than likely to get significantly worse, because you've got to know, because it's only a year ahead.
I would like to give everyone, I want to try and instill confidence in listeners this morning.
You've just said they're going to get worse.
Some of them will get worse, and we are working with all partners across all parts of the system to ensure that we are prioritising the sickest patients, that we are working on all of the reform, transformation and change agenda to ensure that we are providing services hopefully at the right times, in the right place, that we're managing patients appropriately through the primary care.
You can't manage patients
and that
appropriately.
We're introducing new ways of working to try and reduce these waiting lists.
You can't manage patients appropriately if you don't have the money to do so. So, I'm not sitting in front of you today. My job today is not to give you a really hard time as to why you're not delivering in Northern Ireland without me absolutely saying to the public, you don't have enough money to do it. But so the big questions in Northern Ireland need to go to Stormont, need to go to the politicians who are not funding you to the level where people who listen to this programme are getting a decent health service on time. So just to be fair to you, to state that. So this is about you this morning being prepared surely to sit in front of me today and to say it as it is. Now, waiting times are going to get significantly worse. You must be able to give us a heads up as to where that will be so that we as a community can know and can ask our politicians questions about it.
You've asked me directly, do we have enough money? I've said, no, we don't. We need more money. We know what the bid, current bid is for June monitoring, 89 million, 45 million of which will go towards addressing these elective care waiting times. But what I would say is that patients will continue to be prioritised in the meantime according to clinical need. So those sickest patients coming forward will obviously be treated first.
What about patients in acute pain?
Well, we would be, again, trying to address that in the best way we possibly can. But we've got to,
continue
to prioritise in line with clinical need. And I'm not a clinician. I can't make the call on that. Clearly, we depend on the clinicians, physicians, GPs and everyone else working across the service to make that call.
Dean Sullivan, your colleague in your health board, said this year that as well as waiting times currently being ridiculously long, he said they will get longer in 2015-16 in the context of the resources currently available to us. Now, last year we saw some of the waiting times, as I've already said today, treble. Like, that is the situation in Northern Ireland, that outpatient waiting times have gone up from 39,768, that's people waiting more than 9 weeks, to 107,000. Inpatient waiting times, March 2014 to 15, have trebled for those people waiting more than 26 weeks. You know, to wait more than half a year is outrageous in this country, surely. Trebled those times. Could they treble again, Valerie? Could they double? Well, you've got to be working this out.
Well, we are working it out, Stephen, and we certainly hope that it will not be anywhere near as serious a situation as you've just outlined there. But again, I would like to make the point, I know I've made it before and I sound like I'm repeating myself, that whilst we accept that these waiting times are unacceptable, again, to stress that around half of our patients will have their surgery in less than 3 months and three quarters of all of those patients in less than 6 months.
You have you've just told us this morning that you're looking for £89 million
yes.
from Stormont. And that was in the June monitoring round. And here we are nearly August, end of July. Have you had any heads up from government whatsoever that you're likely to get that money?
No.
So where does that leave you?
Well, it leaves us in the situation that we are having to really concentrate on the whole reform, transformation and change agenda.
Is it acceptable?
To look at how we can do things differently, how we can provide services through different channels in different ways, how we continue to prioritise diagnostics to identify urgency, develop treatment plans, how we look at good waiting list management, put in place best practice for waiting list management. And I've outlined there, that means taking those urgent and most critical sure. patients first, and then after that, all other routine patients in chronological order.
So to be fair to you, I can hear this morning how you're trying your best. But the reality is that you've asked for £89 million to look after us in Northern Ireland. And the politicians can't even say no. Haven't even got themselves together to the point where they can say yes or they can say no. So you've heard nothing, is that right?
Well, we have heard nothing in relation to June monitoring. I haven't heard whether or not that money is coming to us or
how,
not.
How difficult is that? What does that mean for your planning? Like, where does that put you? Where does that leave you?
Well, that's a whole different matter, the question of financial planning for health and social care. I have to say that having worked for 26 years in the public sector in Scotland and recently returned to Northern Ireland, that I am not satisfied that we are working on a single year on year budget for health and social care. And I'm clearly on record as having said that publicly. We absolutely need to be working on a much longer financial planning framework. And what I would like to see is budgets being planned over the life of, say 4 years over the life of an administration.
So you're living hand to mouth. Well, that's what you're doing.
Well, good financial planning, in my opinion, in my professional opinion, should be stretching out over a much longer window of time, and you should be planning accordingly. Having said that, I think sometimes, particularly with health and social care and the various monitoring rounds, we can spend too much time arguing and debating what we're going to do with the extra money that we get through those monitoring rounds. Rather, I would rather see us. I would prefer to see us concentrating on making best use of, say, the £4 billion that we know we will get every year in relation to providing health and social care with that amount of money.
Spell out for me, because it must be your responsibility to have looked at this already. Spell out to me the implications for Northern Ireland if they don't give you that £89 million.
The implications for the citizens of Northern Ireland is that, unfortunately, we will see these elective care waiting times growing out to what I consider to be unacceptable levels.
Are they not already unacceptable?
Some of them are unacceptable, yes, but at the same time, I don't want to continue to repeat myself in terms of those patients that we are seeing through the system in a timorous fashion day and daily, and they are having appropriate treatments within appropriate timescales.
So if you don't get that £89 million, try to paint a picture for us today, Valerie, that the ordinary working man or woman can understand. What do we face in Northern Ireland if you don't get that £89 million?
Well, people who pay their taxes deserve the best possible health and social care services that we can offer. They deserve nothing less. But because of the demand and the unprecedented demand that we're facing in terms of request or our need for health and social care services, we're trying to provide the best level of care we can with the resources available. And maybe it's time, Stephen, to have that bigger societal debate. Maybe you can even help with this.
We'll get on to that in a second.
Bigger societal debate in terms of what health and social care, what are the health and social care priorities for the people of Northern Ireland?
We'll get on to that.
Because it may be coming to a situation that we simply can no longer continue to provide everything we're constantly doing with the resources available.
I promise you we'll get on to that later. Will there be, if you don't get that £89 million, will there be people in life-threatening situations who you won't be able to care for properly?
No, there will not be people in life-threatening situations because, again, I have stated this morning that we will, prioritise those patients. Patients will continue to be prioritised in line with clinical and urgent need.
Will we be hearing from a lot more people? You know, Valerie, what I'm trying to do here, I'm being very, very patient, but I'm trying to get you to tell us. You've asked for £89 million. Now, you either need it or you don't. Your own colleagues are saying the waiting list times are currently ridiculously long. I'm trying to get you to send a message to Stormont as to how much you really need this money and the consequences of us not getting it. What I don't want to do is I don't want the public to be in the dark, and in 12 months' time, if you don't get that money, there being a picture that we all didn't realise.
Well,
spell it out for us.
At our own public board meeting in July, end of June, Clearly, members of our board, along with senior management colleagues, are very concerned about the current funding gap of the £31 million.
Well, it means very concerned. What does it mean?
I mean, how often do we have to repeat this? We know that what it means is that elective waiting lists are going to become longer and longer. I've already admitted that we find that totally unacceptable. But we've also got to concentrate our main energies on trying to do better with the resources that we currently
have. Do you?
Well, yes, we are.
Well, here's another option for
TYC,
you.
TYC is making steady progress on the ground.
Here's another option for you, Valerie. Another option for you is to say to Stormont, stop. To say to Stormont, this is a situation in the future that is going to be beyond unacceptable. This is a situation in the future where you're going to see working class people who don't have thousands of pounds in their pockets in acute pain for very long periods of time. Now, I'm not trying to feed you. Where I'm coming up from that from is our listeners, people that have called this programme, crying, Valerie, crying because they're in pain and they're sitting years on a waiting list. Some of them are sitting for 6 and 7 months on a waiting list.
And that is totally unacceptable.
But it's going to get worse,
isn't it?
It's
totally unacceptable. And what I've already said is, as Chief Executive of the Health Board, and people will expect me to say this in Stormont, give me more, give me more, give me more. We can always do more with extra funding that we get for health and social care.
Do you think the politicians realise how bad it is?
I also appreciate that politics is what politics is in Northern
Ireland. Why are you protecting them?
I'm not protecting anyone here this morning.
You haven't said a bad word about Stormont, not one.
What I do know is that for every pound that you take away from another public service, and some of those are essential public services, that means that something else in another part of the system is not being done.